This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Katie Packer, Executive Director of the Workforce Fairness Institute. We want to get her thoughts on the apparent soon-to-be resignation of Andy Stern, head of the very powerful SEIU, the Service Employees International Union. Stern gained prominence earlier this year for being the most frequent guest of President Obama's to the Oval Office in the first year of his administration. So what is the Stern track record, and what does his departure potentially mean in terms of the debate over organized labor? And Katie, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
What do you see as the legacy, if in fact Andy Stern is stepping down, of his time as head of the SEIU?
Why is Andy Stern resigning? And I said, well, I've got a whole list of reasons he should be resigning, starting with referring to members of the U.S. Senate as terrorists, blatantly lobbying the White House while not registering as a lobbyist, mismanaging the SEIU's pension funds, running an organization that encourages their members to bully and intimidate people that disagree with them, undermining other labor unions who dare to compete with the SEIU. So the list goes on and on of all the reasons why he ought to be resigning, and I think that that's a big part of what his legacy will be, unfortunately, for him.
What is the legacy for the typical American worker over the past years that he's been in charge?
Well, you know, it depends on if you're talking about the SEIU worker or people that are not part of that union. I think that certainly with many of the companies that he has managed to extort agreements from, he's managed to help them get good contracts. Whether or not those businesses are able to stay afloat once they negotiate those contracts is somewhat in question, and I think that's why you see the SEIU pension funds, considered to be at critical state and not fully funded to the levels that they're supposed to be as required by law. But I think that during his tenure as head of one of the largest private sector unions, you've seen union membership in the private sector decrease from 35% about 30 years ago to about 7% today. So I think that tells you about the impact that he's had and others like him have had during that time.
Well, the vote on the health care bill was certainly a victory for Andy Stern and for organized labor for the most part, but that wasn't necessarily their top priority heading into the Obama administration. It was the so-called card check debate that really hasn't gained a whole lot of traction. Where does that stand, and what do you make of the fact that he's potentially leaving before that's even voted on?
Well, I mean, I think that to some degree he sees the handwriting on the wall and wants to leave on what he can sell as a high note. If folks recall this bill that you're referring to, card check, or they call it the Employee Free Choice Act. We call it around here the Employee Forced Choice Act. And, that's a bill that they set out as their number one legislative priority coming out of the 2008 elections. In fact, they said that they had invested a lot of money in getting President Obama and this Congress elected, and they expected a payback. And that was the payback. They had a meeting last summer with the White House, and after that meeting, they decided their number one priority was health care, and that EFCA was their second priority. So you can do the math on that one. But I think that they were dealt some surprises when folks like Blanche Lincoln and Ben Nelson in the U.S. Senate expressed that they would not support the bill, and then followed by Scott Brown winning in Massachusetts and expressing that he would not support the bill. They realized that they did not have the kind of support that they needed to move that forward. So we'll look for them to maybe try to break it up and try to sneak it through some other way this year. But I think the Employee Forced Choice Act, as we know it, is probably not going anywhere this term.
Is even on a scaled down version, is there a way that makes it more palatable to you, or is it pretty bad in any form?
Well, it's kind of like saying that, we'd like to get rid of the Second Amendment to the Constitution, but we're willing to compromise. It's a pretty bad bill. The two major components of the bill are both incredibly destructive to small business owners, both the card check component as well as eliminating the right of workers to vote on their own contract once they have a union. We think that both pieces are really bad and just would not consider in any way supporting anything that looks like that. If they want to decide to come up with some other bill that has nothing to do with the Employee Forced Choice Act, then, we could talk, but certainly there wouldn't be a compromise on that particular bill.
Last question, Katie, and I guess we kind of answered it by talking about the access that Andy Stern has had to the Obama White House over the past 15 months. But how much influence does organized labor have over this administration and this Congress?
Well, I mean, it's unprecedented, really. I mean, this is a guy who literally has, you know, an all-access pass to the West Wing and doesn't have to declare himself as a lobbyist. And, you know, 2 weeks after referring to members of the U.S. Senate as terrorists, is appointed to a debt commission. I mean, this is a guy whose own pension funds that he manages are rated at critical condition, and somehow he qualifies to serve on a commission to advise on resolving the debt problems we have in this country. I mean, this is a guy that this White House has pandered to time and time again. So this kind of access will be difficult for them to replace.
Katie, unfortunately, we've got to run. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Katie Packer is Executive Director at the Workforce Fairness Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.